Chuck Chat Technorama for Thursday, November 17, 2005.
Any similarities between this podcast and actual events and or persons living or dead are purely coincidental. Names have been changed to protect the innocent, and no animals were harmed in making of this podcast.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
Unilateral phase detractors. Cardinal gram meters. Six hydrocoptic marble veins. Conductors and fluxes. Prefamulated amulite. Malleable logarithmic casing. Swerving bearings. Panometric fan. Milford trunnions. And the face of lunar wane shaft. Lotus O-deltoid type. Semi-boloid slots of the stator. Drawn reciprocation dingle arm. Sinusoidal depleneration. The retroencabulator.
Welcome to Technorama. Set your laser printers to stun. Who writes this stuff? I'm Chuck Tomasi, coming to you from the snowy north regions of Wisconsin. It has been snowy. It's been cold. It's been yucky. This is winter in Wisconsin in one day. And with me from the sunny south, doing the wind impersonations, is my co-host, Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hey, I'm a little hot, man. I got to wear shorts outside.
Yeah, I'm
kidding.
Terrible. What is it, about 50?
No, it's like, it was like around 60 right now.
Oh, gee. I think our high tonight, or our low tonight is going to be about 11, and the high tomorrow will be 20.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned that, because I think tomorrow night is supposed to be starting to get down in the 30s, so it's like it comes to you first, and then it starts
the
coming down.
The front is headed your way. Yes, it is.
Send it on. I like the cold weather.
I don't mind it. I've got a nice long leather coat that works well, and people call me Neo.
Wear the sunglasses.
I have the sunglasses. I lost them all summer. They were in my winter jacket pocket.
You can start jumping off the walls at work.
I'm doing my Superman. Coming up in tonight's show, Craig is going back to hack his Xbox. We've got a little talk about VPN for your wireless connection, and we'll do a little reflection on the expo. We've also got a return trip to the recycle center. This is part two, where I go in the back and be overwhelmed by the stuff.
What are you recycling?
What am I recycling? Actually, I am going on a return trip there. I'm going to go pick up some stuff we purchased for our company, but you'll actually hear about that.
Hey, you know what's funny is you mentioned the recycling center.
Yeah.
And I found one in Charlotte, so I'm going to have to go visit that one.
Oh, yeah. All right. We will be right back after this quick message. On this day in tech history for November 17, 2005... This is November 17th. It's the 321st day of the year. And there are only 44 days remaining in 2005. It was on this date in 1820 that Captain Nathaniel Palmer becomes the first American to see Antarctica. The Palmer Peninsula was later named after him. In Egypt, the Suez Canal linking the Mediterranean Sea with the Red Sea is inaugurated in an elaborate ceremony on this date in 1869. And in 1970, the Soviet Union Luna program lands Lunokhod 1 on Mare Imbrium, or the Sea of Rains, on the moon. This is the first roving remote-controlled robot to land on another world and was released by the orbiting Luna 17 spacecraft. Douglas Engelbart receives the patent for the first computer mouse on this date in 1970. And the first edition of Frack is released on this date in 1985. It became the oldest computer underground magazine still running after its 20 years of existence. In 1990, Fugendaki part of the Mount Unzen Volcanic Complex in Nagasaki, Japan, of course, became active again and erupted. And in 1995, Public Radio International's radio program This American Life broadcast its first episode entitled New Beginnings. It was on this date in 1929 that Herman Hollerith, the American statistician and whose name we associate with the old punch cards, died. Happy birthday on this date in 1717 to Jean-Laurent d'Alembert, the French mathematician. And in 1790, happy birthday to August Ferdinand Mobius, the German mathematician whom we associate with that crazy twisted paper loopy thing. Happy birthday in 1878 to Lise Meitner, the Austrian physicist. In 1899, Douglas Shearer, the Canadian film sound engineer. Finally, happy birthday in 1902 to Eugene Wigner, the Hungarian physicist, or is it Wigner? I'll never know. And that's the way it was on this day in tech history for November 17th, 2005.
I like that. As a new network of podcasters, FIT, the Friends in Tech. Sounds like they got something cool going on there.
Hey, I want to give a big thank you to whomever dropped the tip in the tip jar. We got our Libsyn coverage covered, our bandwidth covered for this month. So thank you, whoever you are. You know who you are. I appreciate it very much.
You can look at it this way. It either covered Libsyn for this month or an hour's worth of beer at the expo.
Well, yeah, there's that too. And another thank you to those of you who voted at Podcast Alley. You guys rock. If you haven't, check out the link on the right side of the page or go to podcastalley.com and search for Technorama. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
That has moved us up in the ranks pretty dang far. And, you know, there's a few of you who still haven't voted for the month of November. Not that I'm going to keep harping on this. Maybe
you and you. I want you two to go right now.
Yeah, the two listeners. The two listeners who joined us from the expo. You know, the guys who listen to Only Twit and go, hey, I'm going to check out this Technorama thing. Sounds pretty geeky. Go there now. You can cast your vote. We'll love you just as much as the old timers.
Yeah.
And another thank you to Griffin, who was giving away some free swag. They gave each of us an iTalk, which we've been properly playing with in our iPods, and I'm loving it.
iTrip.
What did I say?
iTalk, which is another product of theirs.
Yeah, Kevin got an iTalk. I got an iTrip. You got an iTrip. That's the radio one, the FM transceiver. Yeah, I'm doing a real wonderful marketing job, aren't I?
Well, you know what? I've used the original iTrip, the one that looks like a little white battery sitting on top of your thing.
Yeah.
This one's cool because I haven't seen it even on their website. It's got a little display on it. And you can dial in the channel you want with the Chrome dial and click
it right
in.
Special.
Yeah, we're real special. But I haven't seen it on their website, and so I don't know if it's even out yet. So
it seems to be working just fine. I mean, yeah. I've been using it in the house. I've been using it in the car.
I love it, yeah.
I haven't used it in my van because I still have the cassette adapter in there, which, you know, is superior to any non-direct connect device. But we really thank the people at Griffin, and hope we can do more for them in the future.
Sure.
Now, we've got some listener feedback. A couple of them from Scott Reynolds. He was talking
about... Oh, that's Scott.
Yeah, that's Scott. We were talking about THX, and he wrote, Gotta love Wikipedia, an excerpt from Wikipedia on THX. According to Dr. Tomlinson Hallman, the inventor of THX system, the name of the technology was deliberately chosen because it contained both a reference to his name and to the Lucas early film THX 1138. That was interesting because I thought THX 1138 was named after the THX thing. Anyway.
No, it's that movie, you know, with Robert Duvall where he's, you know, everybody's got shaved heads and stuff and they take the pill to make him happy or whatever, or docile, I should say.
The original name was Tom Holman's Crossover, which is how I knew it. Crossover sometimes referred to by the letter X, sort of like Christmas. But was later changed to mean Tomlinson Holman's Experiment. I never got the memo. I still refer to it as Tom Holman's Crossover.
I just refer to it as that sound thingy that Lucas has.
Yeah.
Actually,
one that blows makes your ears bleed at the theater.
Yeah. The little robot doing the cow.
His second message, he says, I left Chuck a voicemail about this, and he never got it. But if you haven't talked to anybody about it, go here. en.wikipedia.org/wiki/DivX. So much more information than I could do justice to. The main point, DivX is a commercial implementation, and Xvid, which is how you've been sending me odd bits and bobs, is an open source implementation based on an earlier foray into open source by DivX, Inc. MythTV recommends using the latter wherever possible. Very nice.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I got the Xvid, what is it called, plugin for QuickTime?
The codec.
Codec, yes, the Xvid plugin for codec. Brain, turn on, please.
Same difference.
Yeah. And works just fine. I've been watching a lot of stuff in Xvid format on QuickTime on the Apple.
I've been real happy with it. Like I said, I ripped that two movies to take with me to the expo. They're both of them. I told it to go down to about 700 megs, and man, the quality was great. The audio was superb.
Yep.
You know, so I couldn't argue with that.
We got this from Mike in Canberra, Australia. Good day, mate. No, that's not what he says. That's what I said to him. In your show from 11 November 2005, Craig told us how he regularly types ls at a Windows command prompt. Craig should check out the Unix Utils, which is UNX Utils, a free set of Unix tools for Windows, which are available at unxutils.sourceforge.net. I always install Unix Utils on every Windows PC I use regularly. You can do so much more with the shell script than you can with any batch file.
Mm-hmm. And you know, thanks, Mike. By the way, I wanted to add that I actually use Cygwin a good bit. It's just that I was just saying that most of the time I do type ls and some other commands, you know, trying to do something under Windows. But I do use Cygwin. It's from Red Hat, if you hadn't seen it. It's got ports of a ton of all the new GNU utilities that you find under Linux. They're ported over to Win32. And what's cool is you run the installer, and you can pick and choose which ones you want. There's a base set, and then you can add whatever, anything from SSH to whatever. So, and I also put that in my environment path, so you know, I can type ls or any of that stuff without having to run Cygwin. You can run it from just when you type cmd and open a command box, you can type SSH, you know, so and so, you know, wherever, move on, you know.
But so much handier.
Yeah, well, both of them are good. And I know the Unix Utils that he has mentioned here, I've seen it before, but I already had Cygwin, but I'll definitely give those a look over.
And finally, I wanted to give a follow-up. We've talked about the consolidated forums on friendsintech.com. That's where we moved our Chuck Chat forums over there. And I don't know if everybody knew, but there is an RSS feed that you can subscribe to that will tell you in a regular news aggregator when there are new postings. That's how I read mine. And did you know that discussions are really picking up since we consolidated?
I know, and I went in today and posted some stuff too, so you can go call me out on those posts.
Big thank you to everybody out there. We are keeping an eye on things, and that is exactly why we merged and consolidated, and exactly what we were hoping to provide, and so far it's working out very well.
Cool. Yeah, I think so too. It's there's a ton of posts in there.
On with the news.
There you go.
Oh, thanks. Actually, you've got the first story.
Yes. This man made an Atari 800 laptop. You remember the Atari 800s?
Yes.
Well, go pull up that link if you haven't seen it yet.
I did.
This thing is so retro. It looks like something technically that could have been out at some time, but like in the past. It looks awesome. It's got like a square keys for the keyboard.
Yep.
It's even got the error code list on the side. And it's fully functional. Look, it's even got the directional pads on the side so you can play games and stuff. But I would have put a link to the man's site in there in the wiki or in the show notes. But the problem is I don't have a link straight directly to it. And I'll see if I can find it. But this man, he's taken a lot of stuff. One thing that I saw, and I think he's been on the Screensavers back in the day. He took an Atari 2600 and made a handheld game out of it, kind of like a Game Boy or something.
Mm-hmm.
course, it was bigger. And you would plug the cartridge right in the top, and the cartridge would stick out almost like a sun visor over the screen, the way it would stick in there. And you could just sit there and play Atari 2600 game on like a with a 9-volt battery.
Cool.
It was very cool. I'd give good money for one of those.
Would you make one?
Would I make one?
Yeah.
Yeah, but to be honest with you, he's probably got more more geek points than I do.
All right, our next story. This is from ZDNet. iPodder Lemon is forced to change their name. The coders behind a handy tool for handling podcasts have been paid a little visit by Apple's legal team.
Ooh, imagine that.
Open source developers have changed the name of an application after pressure from Apple's lawyers. iPodder Lemon was free application distributed under the GPL license that allows users to manage their podcast audio and video downloaded from the internet to their MP3 player. The product supports more than 15 languages, blah blah blah. Anyway, Apple's legal team asked the open source group to drop the name of the software as it suggested a connection to its flagship iPod device.
Yeah. Well, I can almost see that, but you know, I don't know.
My question is, what about iPodder X?
Yeah.
Seems like they'd be another next target.
They may be. They may be. You know, they announced this while we were at the expo.
Yeah, I think Leo did mention that. Well, Daryl was in the hot seat talking about iPodder, and they call it Juice now.
Juice something.
It's, yeah, this article just says Juice. Scott Graban, a Juice developer who also works on a similar product called CastPodder, rejected Apple's claim that iPodder's name would confuse its users. Yeah, it's just
Juice Receiver.
Juice Receiver.
Mm-hmm. Still got the yellow lemon.
Lemon juice.
It's still the same program, but anyway, I like it. I've used it before.
Makes me wonder.
Wonder what?
iPodder X is next.
Oh, yeah.
I can type. All right. I got to scroll down. I'm on the wrong keyboard. It's a problem with doing this with three computers around you.
Yep.
It wasn't a problem at the expo.
Don't you hate that when you're looking at one screen, you start typing, and you're like, what the hell's going on?
It's not doing anything. Yeah, meanwhile, you're screwing up the other stuff. Yeah. I hate it when that happens.
You just formatted your other box without even looking at it.
All right. Our strange story tonight goes out to an empirical study about the effectiveness of aluminum foil helmets.
I got mine on right now.
Where did we get this from? Steve Holden?
Yes.
All right. It's an abstract for a presentation or a paper or something. Among a fringe community of paranoids, aluminum helmets serve as the protective measure of choice against invasive radio signals. We investigate the efficacy of three aluminium... I just love saying it that way. It's more fun.
Okay,
aluminium helmet designs on a sample group of four individuals. Using a $250,000 network analyzer, we find that although on average, all helmets attenuate invasive radio frequencies in either directions. This is kind of technically stuff, but you get down to the end of it. It says, statistical evidence suggests the use of helmets may in fact enhance the government's invasive abilities. We speculate that the government may in fact have started the helmet craze for this reason.
Ooh. Mm. I was just thinking the same thing this morning.
Were you wearing one?
No, I was in the shower.
With one?
No. I can hear now, ding, 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 the shower head hitting the thing. Oh,
well. All right, for the few rare individuals who do not listen to This Week in Tech with Leo Laporte and missed our announcement on the Saturday show, we were on Twit, This Week in Tech with Leo, and just to relive some of the fun, I'd like to just play my 3 minutes of fame here. So this is self-indulgence 100%. I make no qualms
go
about
ahead
it.
Soak it up.
Yeah, baby. So we're just going to take a little dive into the past, like 3-4 days ago.
I'd say, yeah. That's
this
a big stretch.
This is like clipping the pictures of yourself out of the newspaper and putting them on your office wall.
Sure.
This is the way geeks do it. They put audio clips in their podcast. All right, we will be back in just a couple of minutes.
this morning. Chuck Tomasi is here. He is a podcaster with his own podcast, Chuck Chat.
Yes.
But also a member of Friends in Technology. And I wanted you to, well, first of all, welcome to Twit.
Thank you. Welcome. Thank you.
You had me on your show some time ago, and I'm glad to reciprocate.
Well, I appreciate it.
Tell me about Friends in Technology.
Friends in Technology is a oxymoron, actually. It's a tight-knit group of loose-knit friends. I mean, there's no commitment other than to have fun. That's the primary objective.
And it is mostly podcasters, though, yes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Also,
how many different podcasts?
Six.
And tell me what the names are.
I have to look them up. we're good friends.
You got friends, but loose. And they're all here, by the way, in their fit T-shirts.
We're missing one.
Oh, all right.
We're missing one. Yeah. He couldn't make it to the expo.
Okay.
We've got behind me Kevin Devon from In the Trenches.
Love it. Yep.
And his co-host, George Starcher, is back in the throng somewhere.
Yep.
Further back in a trench.
We've got myself, Chuck Chat. We do Technorama. Craig Stepp is my co-host. We've got Victor Cahiao from the Typical PC User Podcast.
Now, I like that because Victor's really aimed at the beginners and newbies and really helps them out. And I think that's a really great thing. Yeah, yeah. They won't listen to Twit, but they can listen to you. Yeah.
We've got Douglas E. Welch from Career Opportunities, the High-Tech Career Handbook. Excellent advice for those in the high-tech area. Mike Tech Show. Mike Smith was not able to make it. And Steve Holden, who's the extremely tall gentleman in the back from Tech News Radio.
There are a lot of little loosely affiliated groups like this.
Yes.
I was talking to a 14-year-old kid who probably, I think he had to go home, do his homework, you know. But he has the Teen Podcasters Network, and there's something like 40 or 50 teen podcasters. No, I think 70 teen podcasters. And I think it's...
My flight's leaving. I better go.
I didn't know we were doing this in the airport. I just think that this is one way that podcasters... What is the benefit of getting together in a group like that?
Our objective is just to have fun. We found that we were...
You don't... It's in the cross-marketing?
Yes. Or, yeah, it's the cross-promoting.
Sales.
We've got projects that are bigger than the sum of the parts.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
We did Server Room of Horrors, a Halloween special. Horrors. Okay.
Yeah. I know what you're talking about. Soccer Girl will be by later. Yeah.
We're working on a Christmas special.
Right.
We've got a weekly look back at all of the shows that we do, the six of us. We splice them together, make a 15-minute kind of promo. We call it Retrofit, the look back at the week. And just small projects along the way. Fit tips.
That's
come
great.
Across something
I
that belongs to the group.
You know, Adam Curry is there. Apparently some sort of feud going on. I'll talk about that in just a second.
Mm-hmm.
But, Chuck, thank you for being here. We appreciate it.
The
best with Fit and all the best with Chuck Chat. I'm going to let you get up. Tom Katz is here from Audible.
Hello, this is Dr. Floyd.
And this is Dr. Grant from the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd.
And you're listening to Chuck Chat Technorama.
Ooh, Technorama. That sounds fancy and sci-fi.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear that's with Chuck and Craig.
Who?
Craig.
Craig Stepp?
Yes, Craig Stepp. You know him, right?
Oh, sure. Who doesn't know him?
Those guys were great.
They were. And the live Dr. Floyd thing was just classic.
We just had way too much fun this past weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Now, actually, I'm going to rearrange this a little bit. Our notes are out of order. I don't want to jump right into another clip. We've got the Computer Recycle Center tour coming up next. But, Craig, while I'm queuing that all up, why don't you take us through the Secure Shell Tunnel Wi-Fi thing that you were talking about?
Yeah, well, actually, when we were on our trip this last weekend to the podcast expo, George Starcher was totally prepared because he had his laptop set up to talk to his house through a VPN. You know, so you get on the wireless access point in whichever conference room we were in.
Mm-hmm.
And he would tunnel through that to his house, so all the data that was broadcast from his laptop to his home was secure. It wasn't just out in the open for everyone to look at. Well, then, I'm sitting there going, man, I totally should have something like that set up, and I didn't. So he was the inspiration for this. Basically gave me a wake-up call. Not literally, just, you know, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, so... what I did was I started playing around with setting up my XP box at home as a VPN server, and I could be anywhere out on the internet from my laptop and actually, quote unquote, dial in through the internet to that box, and my data go, you know, I get data in and out of my network. So everything's encrypted. I've got a link to a site that explains it, what a VPN is, and a little bit more detail, and then it tells you how to set up your XP box. Basically, go into the network the control panel on the network connections, set up a new connection, and you tell it to allow connections, and you tell it what kind of parameters, and basically, while it's on the network, it will accept a connection, give you a special IP number, and then I'm on my local network, and I can VNC to other boxes on my network or mm-hmm. do whatever. So if you're at home, you have an XP box that's on all the time behind your firewall.
You're good to go.
You just set this up. It's totally free. Now, Microsoft, too much, but I will say you are relying on Microsoft for your security here. I will recommend, and George uses a Linksys BEF-SR41.
That's the one I've got.
You got one of those?
I've got that exact same one.
Oh. Well, what you do is you set it up as your router, and you can VPN into it, and then, you know, and do the same thing I'm talking about right now. I think you can get those for about $40.
I paid like $180 maybe 3 years ago.
But yours has VPN?
I don't know. It's got the latest firmware, which is still about a year old.
Yeah. Well, that's what they're what he's using. And like I said, he encrypts his data from any network point he's at to his house, and then he gets data basically coming in and out of his network back through his tunnel. So he uses SSH. I used the little connection client that's built into XP.
I've used SSH through my firewall. Yeah, that's been done. Okay. I think my friend Chad does that as well, because there are some sites that are blocked at work, but he goes home and, you know.
Anyway, but it works really good. I'm already on the network. I put a shortcut to the connection on my little taskbar.
Mm-hmm.
I click it, and it's like, bam, bam, done. I was like, okay, did a trace route. Sure enough, I'm talking through my router at home. So, I mean, it's awesome.
Do you do what I do? When you telnet to a machine, do you picture yourself at that machine?
You have to.
Do you, like, mentally transport yourself in front of the screen and keyboard at that machine?
Yeah, when I SSH into something like that, sure. Because you have to. Because if you don't, you get confused. I mean, you know, start going, wait a minute, you know, where am I at?
Well, what do you do when you're going to, like, a site that you don't know what the system looks like? When you upload things to chuckchat.com. You have no clue what that system looks like, or the rack, or, you know.
Oh, no. No. I don't know. I don't really visualize it.
Kind of no personality. Like, we're going to have to make a trip to GoDaddy or something.
It's kind of, yeah, it's like my site, whenever I VPN it, or FTP into it, or something mm-hmm. like that, I kind of imagine it as one of those Acme black holes that Bugs Bunny always had. Just kind of throw stuff out there.
The instant hole.
Yeah. Whack. Throw them in there.
All right, we are going to take another trip to the Midwest Computer Recyclers. Actually, a guy down in Milwaukee heard about this and said, where are they? I've got some stuff to get rid of. So I... Well, someone thought it was funny. So we will be back after our short visit to the Recycle Center.
Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
Tons of laptops.
I couldn't find my floppy drive enclosure for the one I brought in, but it's just like that, so nice way you got parts.
Brass and copper. See, this is most of the stuff that Tom wants to know. Well, I'll go through it. We actually moved this from our other warehouse when we moved here.
What in the world? It's an old portable. It's a luggable with, like, 5-inch screen. So Tron. I can't say I've seen one of those before. That... Oh my gosh! Go to the whole back room, there's just pallets of pallets. This is all the broken down chassis and things up here?
Plastic, yeah. It's all solid plastic.
An ADIC rack that says poop on it.
Yeah,
this is a tape library.
One of the kids that was working for us destroyed it. He was going to sell the cabinet as a whole.
It's not really a standard 19-inch rack.
He did this with grease.
And it's
I told Tom,
stuck.
I said, it's Lexan. When I try to get it off, forget it.
It's going
to
eat.
So we stripped it, pulled the hard drives and everything else out of it. This is all basically scrap. Old printers and stuff.
Smith Corona.
Inkjet printers and stuff like that.
Yep. What in the world are these?
Lamps.
Lamps. People just...
Some guy in Rockford, Illinois, tried doing what we do and folded up. Left a warehouse. Just a warehouse full of garbage.
A bunch of butt-ugly turquoise lamps.
This was part of the shipment.
So what do you do with these?
I have no idea. I think Tom's going to try and sell them on eBay. As you can see, every one of these has been opened.
Yeah.
I don't know what the guy tried doing. But I told Tom, you're not going to get anything for them. Pull what steel you can off and throw the rest in the trash.
I don't know. People buy that butt-ugly retro stuff on eBay. Might work.
Sheet aluminum.
So this is like the sides of the cases.
Right.
And, okay.
Power supplies.
Those are full hard drives.
You just pull the boards off of them.
Okay.
And the guy that buys them processes them the rest
Look
of the
Look at day. Old full height 5 1/4. Whose was that? Maxstar? Can't tell.
Yeah. We got our extruded aluminum.
Been in IT for 20 years and I recognize every piece of this stuff.
It's
extruded
stuff.
Aluminum from these are the hard drive you slam into the chassis.
Big, now this,
heat sinks from just about everything.
This batch is probably something that he could donate. We get U.S. Express shipments in probably twice a month. I just put it up here because they haven't been gone through. If they have at least one stick of memory and a hard drive, we can sell them.
No kidding.
Neither on eBay or our guy will give us $3 a piece for them.
Hey,
but you get 1,000 of them, which we do.
Cause it's $3,000.
All this stuff here is ready to go out.
How many do you say you process a month?
Oh.
Look at my guy, Mac Blueberries.
I'd say over 1,000.
Dead. We got a couple turquoises in there. Lime.
Yeah, we got rid of some.
A whole bunch of G3s. I got one of those at home, but the hard drive's noisy.
Yeah, this is
awesome. Look at that. There 3 pallets of B3s just sitting.
You can probably, right now, take any one of these
fire
off.
Fire them up.
Rack it up, or plug it in, fire it up, and it'll work.
Omnitech one looks like it's been in a welding environment or something. It's very charcoal.
Yeah, some of them come in looking pretty bad.
So, the stacks of P3s, what are you planning on doing with those?
The guy was supposed to come here yesterday and drop a truck off for us, but he never showed up. He's the guy that gives us, he'll give us $3 a piece for a 1, $4 a piece for a 2, and I think $4 or $5 a piece for a 3. As long as this guy drives and everything in it.
And I'm looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, just
gateways
here. There's 71 in this stack?
77 or 71,
71 times, what do you say, $5?
4 or 5 for the P3s.
So you're talking about $350 for a pallet full of P3s.
Yep, I usually stuff about 24 of them into a truck. These are all of our 19s that nobody wants.
I know where I'm coming shopping. This place is gold mine. No busted plotter. No, it's not a design jet. What is it? It is a design jet. It's a 350. I started poking with those at 650. So
now we got a hard drive eraser.
Oh,
here.
You've got.
Tom, once again, those two. Although I think most of these are dummies.
Those are worth something.
No, they're not. They're hard drives.
That's a power supply. These are the hard drives. These are. 36 gig fiber channel. I may be giving you a call.
Well, you got his number.
Because we have these in production right now. We're actually
really?
We're starting to phase them out, but there's a place in California that sells one of these for about $2,500, $2,000.
For the rack?
$2,000 for this shelf.
Wow.
Yeah, you don't undersell yourself. Yes, I see that. I've been a NetApp customer for probably 10 years now.
Really?
So I'm familiar with that equipment intimately. Very intimately.
Well, we're always anxious to move it out, so,
No, see, what we've got is we can buy that off of you.
for pennies on the dollar,
right,
and use it as spares. So when our machine in Penang, Malaysia goes, we send them a couple of drives. It's a heck of a lot cheaper than paying them maintenance to support 10-year-old equipment. There's a six.
Chuck Chat Technorama. There's nothing worse than a geek with a sense of humor.
Chuck, that was cool.
That was cool.
Yeah.
I had a good time. As you could tell, every time I turned around, I was surprised at what I saw. Look, a whole bunch of iMac blueberries!
Whoa, a calculator!
Look, a quarter!
No, that, yeah. That was cool. You know, it just so happens that at work the other day, this guy was telling me about, we're getting ready to move warehouses for our off-site storage stuff, and he was talking about this recycle place that he was looking into. Hey, get this. They charge $75. They'll come and pick everything up.
This place was $50, like $50 an hour, but see, I live an hour and a half away, so yeah, it'd be about the same thing.
Oh, sure. Well, I wanted to talk about my Xbox project. You know, I'd been talking up the last week about, or a couple weeks, couple shows, about the media center and trying to show video and stuff with the media extenders and stuff. Well, you know, I'm thinking, my Xbox is sitting down there. Really don't, I play some games on it sometimes, not really a whole lot. I'm thinking about hacking it with a soft mod and actually installing Linux on it and make it into a media extender. There's a couple of projects out there, and I'm going to get all the more details about it. But the first thing you need to do is you got to have one particular game. I think it's Splinter Cell from Tom Clancy. And you have to have a USB adapter, which I do have one. I picked one up off of eBay for like $7. And the Xbox. And that's about it. There's some more details, but I'm going to get all that together, and I'm going to see about doing that.
Ooh.
So my little project coming up. And also, real quick before we move along, I'll make this real quick. You know the $100 laptop they've been talking about at MIT?
Yes.
I'm looking at pictures of it now. They announced it. It's kind of green. It looks like almost like Tonka toy-ish a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But it's pretty cool because it will actually fold and backwards, and you can hold it like an electronic book. And it has the hand crank on the side to charge up the battery.
Hmm.
I think it looks great. It's a $100 laptop.
I want to see it. You can put a link in the show notes?
Absolutely. Do you even have to ask?
Well, it wasn't here when we started the show.
Yeah. You're in here now? Okay.
What the chuck? What's up with that?
All right, I have a what the chuck. I want to know this from the Mac geeks out there. Why is it when I go into the Mac Finder and I plug in my little USB flash drive, it shows up sometimes on that pane on the left side and sometimes not? I had an SD card from my camera. If I put it in the SD card reader, it never used to. It's always, you got to go to the computer and it would show up as a mounted drive there. But it would never show up on the Finder in that, I forget what that left-hand window is called, a quick Finder or something or other.
Mm-hmm.
It's not there. Well, I took the same memory stick, brought it over to my iMac G4, plugged into the USB port there. It's also running Tiger, and it showed up just fine in that little left-hand window. So I'm not sure what the rules of this game are, why it shows up sometimes and sometimes not, but if somebody can tell me, I would really appreciate it because it's driving me nuts, and it may just show up someday, and I won't know why. So I want to know. Do you know?
No, I don't know. I had a similar problem when I used Linux, but it's of course, it's not the same.
No, it's not the same.
A computer lets you make mistakes faster than any invention in history, with the possible exceptions of handguns and tequila.
Handguns and tequila?
Yeah! Andale, andale!
Yeah, that'll let you make mistakes pretty quick.
Oh, yeah.
We've reached the end.
The end of what?
The end
of the show!
The end is near!
Hey, my dog! Behold, the end is near!
Sign your life over to us and vote for Podcast Alley before you go.
Yeah. All right, well, listen. All right, enough begging. Listener line 206-222-CHAT. That's 2428. You can email Chuck at chuck@chuckchat.com. You can email me, Craig, at chuckchat.com.
Wait.
That's K.
If you've got an audio file or something big to send me, send it to chuckchat@gmail.com.
That's right. Chuck at... No, wait.
chuckchat@gmail.com.
That's right. Chuck... What was that again?
Can't spell chuckchat.com. You can spell chuckchat@gmail.com. How's that for simplification?
That's right. Sure.
We also got the website that's full of forums, swag, webcam, mailing list, and links to the show notes, and lots, lots more. Any parting words of wisdom?
Oh, no. I'm sorry. I'm out.
We'll find some for next time. Until then, big binary high five.
101.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
All right, Dan. I reckon.